Well, good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Sunday School today. Good to see each one of you here today. And let's thank God for a good day in His house. We can have our visitors with us, we can have a missionary with us. She'll be here presenting her work tonight, and God is directing her in her life. Always good to see God using people everywhere, you know. And we can prayerfully support them, if nothing else. And we're glad to have missionaries with us as they come by from time to time. It's good to see you in God's house today. And I trust you've had a great week in the Lord. And, you know, God is always good, isn't He? He never changes. Whenever it seems like times are bad, things are bad for us, God's always good. But we need to pray and pray for one another. Pray for Brother Tower. He lost his mother yesterday morning. And pray for the family there. Things will go well with that. She was 89. And but pray for him and pray for the family. As they had to put all this together, too. And continue to pray for the course of Britt family, too, as they had their funeral yesterday. Well, we rejoice today in the day that God's given to us. And we talked last week about God the Father. God the Father. Take your Bibles, first of all, to John chapter 14 once again. John chapter 14. I got two lessons this morning. I don't know how I'm going to get both of them in, but we're going to do our best. John chapter 14. Last week we began by reading this, verse 9, and talking about God the Father. But let's pray before we get started today. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for this day that you've given us, a beautiful day, Lord, an opportunity to be in your house again. Lord, we come this morning, Lord, we're trusting in you to lead us and guide us. What we say from your word. God, we're thankful that we have the word of God that is true, is steadfast, that we can count upon it. God, we come today presenting it, Lord, to us that are here. God, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will take the word of God now, Lord, and illumine our minds and with it and teach us what you would have us to know, what you would have us to do. Thank you again for everyone who's come. I pray, Lord, now you will give us open hearts and open minds to your word and your Holy Spirit as he teaches us and as he leads us. Again, bless Brother Tower and his family, the Bitt family and others, Lord, that are hurting, that are sick today. I pray you will lead and guide them and help them through their thing they're facing now. So, Father, we commit now our time to you, ourselves to you. May you be honored, may you be glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. John 14, verse number 1. We begin reading, we'll read these verses again. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Now, this is a good statement for Jesus to make himself. If you believe in God, you should also believe in me, is what he's saying here. Notice, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Excuse me. "And I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Topic was in verse number 8, when Philip said to the Lord, "Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father." We're talking about God the Father, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the all-powerful, the God that's everywhere. Show us the Father. Philip said that. And you know, Jesus, of course, being the best teacher that's ever been, no doubt about that, he is trying to illustrate to them that he is the visible image of the invisible God. He's trying to relate that to us. When we know Jesus, we know the Father. Jesus is like the Father. So if we want to know who the Father is like, we look at Jesus and his life. And so we talked about last week knowing the Father. Talk about the Father. The Father. God the Father. You know, today there are people that have many gods. There are people that say they're atheists in the world today. But I really believe with all my heart on the Word of God that everybody has a God. They may not know the true and the living God, but everybody has a God in their mind and their hearts. They worship someone or something, no matter who they are. But we see today that more and more there are people that are trying to convey to us by, if you go and witness to somebody, you'll find that a lot of people don't believe in God. Don't believe in God. Now, they may be practicing atheists, as we call them. Have you ever asked somebody, are you saved? They say, yes, I am. Do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. Anyone ever done that? Now, to me, that's practicing atheism. That's saying that you are a Christian and you're not. In other words, you're saying you know God, but you don't know God. Because if you did, you would do what God wants you to do. Amen? You would be in God's house. You'd be faithful to God. And the world is full of people like that today. No matter where you go, you see them. You see them in every area of life. So we see today that people are saying, they're saying one thing and believing something else. They know our language, folks. The people that you go out and try to witness, they know our language. They know our vocabulary, so to speak, and they know how to get us out of their house, out of their yard, you know. So we have to be careful. We have to be sharp. We have to really depend upon the Holy Spirit to give us the right words to say to these people. Because they really need to know. We all need to face reality, our lives. We're going to die one day. And the fact is, where are we going to go when we die? We need to know that. It needs to be settled in our hearts and our minds that we know we're going to go to heaven because of what Jesus did for us. Not because of us, but because of what he did for us. So we see today that people are this way. Now, atheism is something that we are facing in the world today. Now, you know, and I know, back in 1959, excuse me, there was a young man in a school, and he was asked to go to a Bible reading class and read the Bible. And he did not want to do it. He did not do it. And because of that, there was problems in the school. And, of course, this was Madame Mary O'Hara's son, John. And because of that, we find that she went to the courts with this deal, this situation, and she presented to the courts the atheist beliefs. In other words, she was telling them that my son does not have to read the Bible. He does not have to read the Bible because he's an atheist. He don't believe the Bible, okay? And as she petitioned the court, the judge, with her views of atheism, what she said an atheist was, I want to read you them today, first of all, and then we're going to get into some scripture. But as she confronted the judge, she said to them, to the judge, an atheist loves his fellow man instead of God. An atheist believes that heaven is something for which we should work now, here on earth, for all men together to enjoy. An atheist believes that he can get no help through prayer, but that he must find, excuse me, in himself, the inner conviction and strength to meet life. We see also an atheist believes that only in a knowledge of himself and a knowledge of his fellow man can he find understanding that will help him in life's fulfillment. We also see he seeks to know himself and his fellow man rather than to know God. Excuse me. An atheist believes that a hospital should be built instead of a church. An atheist believes that a deed must be done instead of a prayer. An atheist strives for involvement in life and not escape into death. He wants disease conquered, poverty vanished, war eliminated. He wants man to understand and love man. He wants an ethical way of life. He believes that we can rely on a God or channel. He believes we cannot rely on a God or channel action into prayer, nor hope for an end of troubles in a hereafter. He believes that we are our brother's keepers and are keepers of our own lives. That we are responsible persons, and the job is here and the time is now. That's what she stated to the judge as far as an atheist is concerned. Now, why don't you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms. Apologize, this cough I got. Psalms, very familiar passage of Scripture. Psalm verse 14, chapter 14. Now, we see because of this event that took place back in 1959, for over 30 years, this lady led the world in atheism, where it is today. We know 1963, of course, prayer was taken out of school. This is the beginning of the downfall of America, I really believe with all my heart. When you take God out of anything, you're inviting trouble. You're inviting trouble. And this is exactly what happened. Of course, we know later on in life that she was missing. Her and her son and her granddaughter was missing for over 6 years. And finally, someone came to her and confessed to them that they killed them, all the family. A guy by the name of Waters. He killed all three of them. But what I'm saying is this. Because of such, it's amazing to me, as preacher said one night last week or some few weeks ago, it's an amazing thing to me how such a small percentage of people in this world can have so much power in what they say, what they voice. When 50 or 60% of people in America today claim to be Christians, I mean, what's wrong with us? I mean, if 2% can yell out, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, why can't we as Christians can't say, hey, I believe in God. I believe in God, you see. For some reason, our mouths are being shut today, and we need to be speaking out. We need to be speaking out. Now look at Psalm chapter 14. The first verse says, the fool has said in his heart, what's those next four words? There is no God. There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, a fool here is not speaking of someone that's unlearned, someone that's stupid. The Bible says that a fool is someone who has rejected God. He rejects God. He rejects God's Bible as God's truth. That's a fool. That's what the Bible says here. By rejecting God, we find here the fool rejects the one who made the moral and the spiritual laws that made life just and good. They reject that. A fool does that. A fool is indeed, he is corrupt because he denies God's existence. Now, by doing that, he allows wickedness to prevail. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, very familiar verses. We're talking about the existence of God. We're talking about God the Father today. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh God. They are all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, those verses apply to everybody. There's none of us good. There's none, not one, is good. And we find this to be true. The wise, not the fool, but the wise, however, not only believe there is a God, but they strive in their life to please God. They want to please God more than anything else in their life. The wise person does. To believe there is a God, but refuse to please Him, is also foolish. It's also foolish. That's why I say, when you go out and talk to people about the Lord and ask them if they're saved and they're Christian, they say they are and they don't go to church, for some reason they fail to see that they're not pleasing God. They're not pleasing God. Because God would have His people to be together, to grow together, be in God's house, to study God's Word together, you know. The sinner here is described as an atheist. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. One that saith, the sinner, described here as an atheist, he says this, there is no judge in the world. In other words, I am not accountable to anyone. I'm not accountable to anyone. That's what they say. He cannot satisfy himself. Therefore, there's none. But he wishes there were none. That is an atheist. And pleases himself. That is, if it is possible, there may be none. He is willing to think there is none. In other words, he's being deceived, folks. He's being deceived. An atheist is. The sinner is a fool. He's simple, he's unwise. And this is evidence of it. He is wicked, he's profane, and this is the cause. Because he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe in God. We see the Word of God is a discerner of our thoughts, is it not? It's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No man will say there is a God until something takes place in his life. When a man says there is no God, he has become very hardened in sin, towards sin. His heart is hardened. He has sinned so much, wrapped up in sin, his heart is so hard that he don't believe in nothing, especially God. Especially God. Not only this, he believes also that he's not accountable to anybody. I live my own life. You know, I'm not accountable to anybody. This disease called sin has infected the whole world, the race that we know today, more than ever before. The true atheist, if there is such, is either foolish or he's wicked. He's foolish or he's wicked. Personally, I don't believe there is a true atheist. I don't believe there is. I believe God has instilled in the heart, in the life of every person he's ever created, the fact there is a God. We find in the book of Romans, turn back to Romans chapter 1. Now, they may not know the true, the living God, but they have a God. They have a God. Over in Romans chapter number 1, look at these verses here. God's almighty, God's all-knowing, is he not? He knows every heart, he knows all about us. But he says in Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse number 18, says, but the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I believe everybody knows there's a God. Everybody knows there's a supreme power somewhere in this world. Therefore, they have to acknowledge that. So the true atheist is either foolish or he's wicked. He's foolish because he ignores the evidence that God does exist. He's foolish. How in the world can anybody look around on this earth and see the things that are on this earth that God's given us and deny the fact that it happened? That's the most foolish thing in the world. There had to be a designer to design it, and it was God. He created the whole world and all that's in it, you see. So we see that it's foolish because he ignores the evidence that God exists. He's wicked because he refuses to live by God's word. He's wicked because he refuses to live by God's word. Now, again, we become atheists in practice when we rely more on ourselves than we do on God. Now, you know, we have to guard that. We really do have to guard that. But we can be a practicing atheist whether we realize it or not. Now turn over to Psalm 53. Psalm 53. Almost the same exact verse. It's changed a little bit. The psalmist David is echoing the foolishness of atheism. He's echoing it. Look at verse number 1. Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, again, what's those words? There is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Almost the same words, is it not? Twice we see in God's word, people may say there is a God. Why do people say there is no God? There's many reasons, I think. I think sometimes people say there is a God, first of all, to cover up their sins. To cover their own sins, because they know they're sinners, and they don't want to acknowledge it to anyone. So they say there is no God to cover up their own sins. We also see that people say there is no God to have an excuse to continue in sin, to be able to continue right on sinning in their lives, because they're not accountable. They're not accountable. How foolish it is for someone to think that they're not accountable to somebody for what they do in their life. We all are accountable. First of all, we're accountable to God. We're accountable to our spouses. We're accountable to our employers. We're all accountable in this life. And how foolish it is to think that we're not accountable to the one that created us, the one that's given us life. We see also people say there is no God to ignore the fact that one day they're going to be judged. They're going to face one day the person that created them, their judge. There's a judge they're going to face one day. And they try to erase it in their minds that it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But folks, it is going to happen. It is going to happen. Even we as Christians, we're going to stand at the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, even as Christians. So we see, this is why sometimes people say there is no God. Fools are people, again, who reject God. That's what the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. These are people that reject God. A fool is a person that rejects God and rejects God's word. That's who a fool is, according to the Bible, you see. This psalm is to convince us of our sins, that we're sinners. We're going to give an account for our sins one day, you see. God shows us how bad we are. He speaks of us as the worst sinner, worst of sinners. We all are sinners, you see. On the other hand, he speaks encouragement to God's word, God's people, to God's people, you see. Now, how are men so bad? Why are men so bad today? Why are we such wicked sinners? Because, first of all, there's no fear of God before man's eyes. You know, when I was coming up, as a little boy coming up, people had a fear and a reverence for God that you don't see today. You don't see it today. People's hearts today have become so hardened. People's hearts today have become so cold. I'm afraid sometimes we as Christians don't fear God the way we should. We don't fear God the way we should. Yes, God is a God of love. But God is also a God of wrath. He's a God of wrath, you know? And no matter who we are, we're going to stand before God one day. We're going to stand before God one day. So we see here why men are so bad. Men are bad because they have no fear of God in their hearts and their lives. Man has bad practices. Therefore, they have bad principles in their lives. We do what we are. We do what we are. The folly of sin is a fool. He is a fool. The account of God whose judgment, we are sure and right. And then we're going to stand before God one day. To what it brings men, we see the fruit of sin when their hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will deceive us. It'll mislead us. It'll misguide us in our life. And we see the psalmist here is telling us that. An atheist will say there is no God. Again, they reject the existence of God. They reject also the Word of God, the Bible. If there is no God, there is no right nor wrong, is there? If there is no God, there's no right or wrong. Human action, what we do is neither bad nor good if there is no God. See, God is the instigator of this thing called ethics in life. Now, what causes atheism? What causes a person to become an atheist? There's something going on in our life when a person becomes an atheist. He's just not born an atheist. There's something that happens in his life to direct him to become an atheist. Sometimes it's because of unanswered prayers in his life. Unanswered prayers in his life can deter a person. We talked with a lady this past week. She said, God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me. How sad that is to know. But you know, I can say within my heart, and you probably can too, there may have been times in my life that I was so low that I could have thought the same thing. That God doesn't love me. But yet on the other hand, we need to be reminded that God always loves us. God always loves us. This lady was very broken. I don't believe she believes in God. I don't believe she's saved. She needs prayer. She really does. But sometimes we see that atheism is caused by unanswered prayers. You know, sometimes we fail to realize that as a lost sinner, God has only promised to hear one prayer as a lost sinner. That's God be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. He's only promised that. Now, I know God does hear prayer. He heard prayers in my life before I become a Christian. He did. I know he did. But he's not promised to. But sometimes when a person is lost and they seemingly pray and nothing has ever changed in their life, God doesn't answer their prayers, they may get the feeling, hey, is there really a God? They may question that fact. Is there really a God? Because of that. Sometimes it's because of the unfairness of life. This lady told us, she said she retired from her job, and since she retired from her job, everything's going bad. It's been about 3 years. Unfairness in life. Have you ever felt like you've been treated sometimes unfair? I think all of us would have to say yes in life. Life sometimes doesn't seem fair. Yet that's no reason, that's no excuse to become a person that does not believe in God. Okay? We also see that atheism is caused This falls on us because of the inconsistency of Christians, professing Christians. We need to realize, folks, the world is watching us as a Christian. They watch us everywhere we go. They don't watch the fact that we just go to church every Sunday and that's it. Will they see us in the grocery store, at the gas station? Where do they see us? They see us the way we are. And sometimes our inconsistency as a professing Christian, sometimes will deter somebody away and not believing God. If that person is a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. Have you ever heard that? Sure you have. So atheism is caused sometimes by our life, the life that we present to people in the world. Also, it's created is worship more than the Creator in the life of an atheist. They worship themselves. I talked with a guy one time years ago about the Lord. He told me he didn't believe in God. He says, I know who I am. I'm as good as anybody. And I just had to live my life for myself. That's all I have to do. Sad. He's lost. He in essence believes he's God. He's his own God. He don't need God. He don't want to know God. Therefore, he's stooped in this thing called atheism. Now, what does atheism leave? What does it say? What does it say to us as Christians when people say they're atheists? What are they saying really to us and to the world? First of all, they're saying there was creation without a creator. If a person don't believe in God, they don't believe that God created the world, do they? Because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in God at all. So when a person is an atheist, first of all, he believes that creation is without a creator. Now, we believe the Bible. The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. In 6 days, he did it, and he rested. And he said it was all good. He said it was all good. But atheism teaches us that creation is without a creator. That's why we're hearing so much today about evolution, folks. There's more and more people in the world today that don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. They believe in evolution. They believe in the Big Bang, whatever you want to call it, which is nothing but a lie from Satan. That's all it is. But atheism leaves creation without a creator. It leaves design without a designer. You know, I look at the trees and I look at the flowers and all these beautiful things that we have to enjoy in this world, how they're designed, there's no way in the world that man could do that. Only God could. He's the designer. He's the designer of everything that we have the opportunity to have in this world. Also, atheism leaves us, the universe, without a controller. Can you imagine living in a world without it being controlled? It wouldn't happen, folks. We'd all be dead. But that's what atheism teaches. That's what it leaves us. When a person says, I'm an atheist, he believes the universe is without a controller. It's just going. It's just going on its own, you know? And that's the way it's going to be. People are so confused. Atheism also leaves human history without a ruler. Without a ruler. God is the ruler of the world. It also leaves morality without a basis of authority. There has to be some authority. And God himself is the authority. He's the authority of the whole world. He's the ruler of the world, is he not? And also we see that atheism leaves death without any hope hereafter. You know, I'm so glad that there's more to life than just this life. There's more on the other side than we'll ever see in this world if we live to be 100 years old. It's much better over there than it is here. In fact, there's no comparison. There's no comparison, you see. But the atheism leaves death without any hope hereafter. Any death, any hope hereafter. I'm glad today to know that I believe the Bible is true. I know there's a God in heaven. I know that God is in control of this world. He's in control of my life and in control of the lives of those that know Christ as Savior. I'm glad today to know that there's God the Father in heaven that cares about me and cares about you. He's the designer of this place we live in. And he's designing, he's preparing a place for us to live with him throughout eternity called heaven. My folks, we have a lot to look forward to as Christians, don't we? Much more than in this life. Amen. This life is going to soon be over. Yet when we go over there, it's going to be a great time in the Lord and with the Lord for a long time. Well, throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. I'm glad today to know that I can believe in God. I can believe in the true and the living God. Amen. The one true and living God. I don't believe in many gods. I believe in one God. Therefore, we don't have to follow these people that are trying to embed in our minds and our hearts, instill in their minds and hearts, there is no God. We can just turn them off, pay no attention to them. Because I know down deep within me, there's someone living in me that tells me he is alive, he's living within me. He's my God, he's my Savior. It's the Holy Spirit of God that lives within me. And he's greater than any influence in this whole world. That's what John tells us. Greater he is in the world, the greater he is in me than he is in the world. That is the Spirit of God. So we're going to continue next week on our study on God the Father. We're going to look at Jesus and how what he teaches us about God the Father. Jesus is our greatest teacher, amen? He's the greatest teacher we got. We're going to look at him as what he teaches us about the Father. And I trust that it'll be a blessing to you. So let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the time you've given us together. Lord, I pray, God, that today as we have just reviewed some things about the world and how people think, and Lord, how they're so confused and they need help. God, help us to be reminded, Lord, that these dear people, they are just misled. Lord, they need somebody just to be kind to them, to love them, to present the Word of God to them. Lord, whether they accept it or not, they need to hear your word. Because we know, Lord, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Lord, help us, Lord, to be faithful, Lord, in presenting the word to those that we come in contact with when you give us an opportunity. Father, I pray now, Lord, you will just bless the next service we're about to go into. Bless the singing. Bless our pastor. Give him the words to say, the power to say what you've laid on his heart to say. Lord, there's one here today. And those who know not Christ as Savior, I pray, Lord, today might be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.